Welcome to another live Firehouse session on WFHB. This is Jim Mannion. I'm excited to welcome our studio guest this afternoon, Raheem Alhaj.
Thank you.
It's good to see you back in Bloomington again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Raheem is an Iraqi oud virtuoso. He's the recipient of the 2015 National Endowment for the Arts National Heritage Fellowship. Raheem is a political refugee who seeks to infuse his music with the suffering, anxiety, joy, and determination he has experienced. He's here to share music live on the radio today. He'll also be performing at two Lotus Blossom events, one tomorrow, March 21st, 4 p.m. at Meadowood Retirement Community, and on Wednesday noon, March 22nd, at the IU Archives of Traditional Music, the world-famous Hoagy Carmichael Room. Raheem, if we could start off with a little bit of music, and then we'll talk about the roots of your music. And,
sure.
And a little bit about your musical mission here on planet Earth. live on WFHB this afternoon, Rahim Alhaj. Rahim, you're playing an instrument today that has 12 strings, and I believe it's a fretless instrument. It's called the oud, O-U-D. Can you first give us a history of this instrument?
Oh, yeah.
When did this instrument originate?
Yeah, this is called an oud, like you said. It's O-U-D, and this is, they call it the grandfather for all the string instruments, basically. And goes back to 5,000 years ago within Sumerian civilization in southern Iraq. And they invented this instrument. In fact, there's an interesting new study, and T.C. Kramer, who is one of the most significant archaeologists in the whole planet, when he said, actually, it should be more than 5,000 years because the statue we found in Iraq, in there's a woman holding oud and playing the oud. That dated to 5,000. That what he said is that mean these people are already sophisticated to make sculpture with women like this. So basically, they are absolutely advanced before that time. Otherwise, you cannot
to that point. Yeah.
Exactly how to get to this point where women are playing oud with a statue, right? But he said we cannot do that because this statue is dated. I mean, historically, is for 5,000. So that's why they said, oh, this is instrument is just 5,000 years old. But at any rate, it made from wood, and that's it started with a three string, and developed, of course, from the three string to six string, double string, basically. During that time, between Sumerian time to Akkadian time to Sumerian time, I mean Babylonian time, and even the Arab civilization in Iraq during that period. When Iraqi guy, actually, he's a slave, his name is Zeryab, who escaped Iraq, Baghdad, rescued by his teacher, Al-Musalli, and he went to Spain, to Andalusia. That time was part of the Arab Empire.
Right.
Where they developed the lute. And so the guitar and sitar and banjo and all the string instruments basically came from that, from this instrument. It's this very delicate, and it's very, and the great things about this, not because I think because I'm a oud player, I think this is a really great one. But it's timbre with our voice. So it's like if you think of Western instrument, for example, it's exactly almost a viola. So it's between cello and violin, right? That's the voice.
The tonal range.
Yeah. Exactly, with the range of our human voice. And that's why it's so touchy, and it's very close, and you have to hug it to be able to play it, and you feel the vibration in your body. It's very interesting instrument.
Well, you work with a musical form, a traditional Iraqi musical form called maqam. And to me, there seems to be a resonance with Indian raga in terms of improvisational. Part of your performance is improvisational. What exactly is maqam? Is that a set range of pieces that you draw on?
That's an excellent question. Thank you very much for asking me that. Maqam, actually, it's more closer to what we need to describe it to the Western listener, is you think of the mode or scale. So we have major and minor, right, in Western classical music. The major, we call it maqam ajam. The minor, we call it maqam nahawand. So that's now. The great things about maqam is that it's not just set of seven notes from do to do. Why? Because maqam is not the scale that you have at do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. If you do not settle your soul, you're not playing music. you're not playing maqam, you play note.
Mm-hmm.
So it has your soul had to settle first to be able to express this maqam. And each maqam has a different element, different color, different expression, and different feeling. Till this minute, actually, there is a lot of maqam. For example, it's just you play it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There are maqam you played it in the evening. There's maqam actually you play it just Wednesday. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to play it on Thursday. But that's when associated with the moon and with the sun and with the light and etc. And that's why it has a really range of philosophy and elements of expression to the music. Now, one of the most important things about maqam is that in Western music, for example, we have B and B flat.
Mm-hmm.
In Arabic and Middle Eastern music, we have eighth note between B and B flat. It's ridiculous, but that's the way. And each note, it represents a different maqam. And that's maqam when he's, like I said, it has to have range of elements inside of it. So you mentioned raga, for example. When we did a record together, me and Ustad Amjad Ali Khan, for example, mm-hmm. who's a dear friend of mine, we did a record, Surod and Oud. It was, I think we recorded in 2000. We get a Grammy for it, actually, in 2000.
Great.
And then we did last year, or year before, another record between me and Amjad and his son. So three Surod and Oud. About raga, so the raga is the form of improvisation that you have a form, mm-hmm. and you have to go through it, and you expand your ability for improv, and you expanded, actually, your thought at the same time. Now, the difference between maqam and raga is, in because in Indian music, is you have to set the do, and they cannot do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in maqam, you have modulation. So we go and make a tour to like at least 30 maqam in one mode. And that's the significant things about maqam. Otherwise, it's just note. Again, if you not settle in your soul, you play note.
When you go into your performance, if someone comes to see you tomorrow or the next day, are you picking maqam appropriate for that setting, for that day? Do you plan in advance, or do you just...
Not really. I mean, sometimes when you're talking about improvisation, of course, is going to happen mm-hmm. in the same minute. I mean, this is not a question about it. Of course, I know which maqam I'm going to play if I need to choose maqam Rast or maqam Saba or maqam mm-hmm. Bayat. And then I will make improvisation within that form of the maqam. Now, usually, actually, I stopped for a long time. I don't play traditional music. Not because I don't like it, just because I think our world needs more expression about what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful
moment,
to...
Yeah.
Exactly. It's beautiful to, you know, to keep your traditional life and you play it. In fact, I did a record with the Smithsonian for Iraqi traditional music when they asked me
right.
to do a record. So mm-hmm. I did. I said, no, I don't need to record Iraqi traditional music. Why? It's like, why I need to play tradition? Why I have 206 composition written for orchestras and solos and quartet and quintet? But they said there is one beautiful, his dear friend of mine now, Atta Samborin, who is the associate director of Smithsonian, and he asked me one question who convinced me. He said, Rahim, can I ask a question? How do you think how many people in the United States, they know the difference between your composition and the maqam? And I thought about it, I said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, almost zero. So how about we make an introduction to the Iraqi music? So that's what I did, actually, when the soul settled, the music of Iraq on the Smithsonian. We get a Grammy for another Grammy, actually, for that record, too.
Well, it's a real honor to have you here today. In terms of what you performed at the opening of the set, what was the name of that piece?
Oh, that piece, actually, I make it short. This is called Hulum, Dream. It's about the desire that we have to touch our own truth. This is about the children in Iraq when they have suffering too much for a long of time, period of time of sanction. And that's what I asked my nephews and nieces one time on the phone. I said, what are you dreaming right now? They said, well, yeah, going to school and have clean water and be safe.
We have about 6 minutes left in our time together here today. So if we'd like to close with a longer piece.
Oh, longer piece or?
Well, 6 minutes.
No, it's just like I will try to make what as much as I can for to give you an example when you are in the time of Makam.
Okay.
And when you're in it, and how you make. There's something I have to say. So there's improvisation, right? We call it taksim. And there's something, another kind of improvisation called irtijal. I mean, irtijal is composed music in a minute. It's not just you improvise on the right. So if I need to improvise on that, what I can do as much as I need. Thank you.
A beautiful performance this afternoon from Rahim Alhaj. Can you tell us the name of the piece that you just played?
It's called Your Name. What's your name?
My name is Jim.
This is for Jim.
Oh. Well,
this is
quite,
just for Jim.
That's quite an honor.
Of course, it's called Jim. Jim in the studio.
Jim in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it. It's been a really great honor to be in the room with
such
a virtuoso today. Rahim Alhaj in the studio with us today, preceding his Bloomington appearances tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. at the Meadowood Retirement Community, and then Wednesday at noon in the Hoagy Carmichael Room at the IU Archives of Traditional Music, 1165 East 3rd Street. Rahim, it's great to see you back in Bloomington again.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure. I would love. Invite me. I will be here.
Yeah. Well, I also want to thank the people that made that happen in the room with us today, Kim and Lorraine from the Lotus Festival. We also have Jim and Ilza and Dan on the mixdown scene there in the studio. We thank everybody involved with getting this Firehouse session on the air today.